Hey guys, this is Matthew Dom, Mastery's Brewing Co. We are back on Radio St. Pete, and this is What's Brewing Tampa Bay. Something new is we're being video recorded this time. So we went from a radio show to, what is this, a podcast, a blog, a video blog-ish, something? I don't know. Either way, you can see I've got my good friend Kenji here from Crooked Thumb and Safety Harbor. We love those guys. Been having some of our friends down here in the St. Pete, closer to home area of Radio St. Pete, but we're branching out in Pinellas County, bringing out some good liquid, some good people to talk about beer. So Kenji, tell me what's going on, and how's things in Safety Harbor?
Things have been really good at Safety Harbor. We're starting to see business pick back up, get into that cooler season. We're getting the snowbirds coming back, so business is picking up for us. It's been pretty good. As for us, we just had a big milestone. We just had our 10-year anniversary back in October.
Decades of beer. Of beer.
And so we had a huge event for that. We had 30 different beers on tap for that event. So we went pretty crazy for it.
30 beers. That's pretty insane. I saw, so Marker 48 just had their 10-year anniversary. They did 10 years of collabs. So 10 beers for 10 years. But 30 beers on tap. That's pretty intense.
I also nailed 10 collabs in too. I was like, I was going through all my lists and everything, and I had 9. I was like, well, I got 9. It's 10 years. I might as well figure out how to get a 10th one in. And we ended up with a 10th one, so it was pretty fun. We do have right before Thanksgiving on the 26th, we have our bonfire night. So we're gonna have a fire pit out at the brewery, and we are releasing 2 stout treatments. We're doing a mole stout and an Irish coffee stout for that. And shout out to Brown Bag Coffee. We're using their cold brew and the Irish coffee stout. He's a local coffee roaster in Safety Harbor, and we work with him quite a bit. He's a good guy.
Nice. So things are picking up in Safety Harbor. It's beer garden weather, and you already are jumping into the conversation about talking about, you got your campfire pit fire event going on, some beer releases. Touch back again. What are you releasing then?
On the 26th, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we always do like a stout bonfire night. We have like s'mores kits, so people can roast s'mores and stuff in the yard. We'll have a food truck out too. I'm not sure which food truck we're having, but we're definitely having a food truck out. And so we release some stout treatments. So we have our tuxedo t-shirt, which is our oatmeal stout that we do year round. Then doing 2 treatments on it. So one is going to be a mole inspired stout.
Right.
Where I'm going to use ancho, guajillo, pasilla, chilies in it, cinnamon, and cacao nibs to kind of mimic that mole character that you'd get, like the really kind of darker chilies, a little bit of chocolate, a really, really mild spice to it, almost non-existent. And then the other beer that we're releasing is an Irish coffee stout. So what we do with that is we add a cold brew to it, some vanilla, and then we let it sit on whiskey-soaked oak chips. So we soaked oak chips in Tullamore Dew, then we strain that off, put the chips in a bag, let the beer rest on that for a little while until we pick up the flavors of the wood and the whiskey to kind of really give that like coffee and whiskey kind of character to it.
Well, again, I mean, we're coming into the Florida winter, most people's fall, but the Florida winter. So definitely we see the drinking habits change up a little bit. So this time of year are usually pretty stout light in the tap room. Comparatively coming to the winter, we all throw a lot more darker stuff on, get a lot more people kind of doing that light golden stuff when it's hot out, getting darker when it gets cold out. But are you seeing the demand? I mean, like, what are the drinking habits that you're seeing in Safety Harbor, especially coming into this season?
Actually, for us, this time of the year is probably our biggest seasonal release that we do, which we just released that actually last weekend. And that's our Frosty Nibs. It's our winter seasonal. It's a peppermint bark gold ale.
Because we're on camera.
So this one, we kind of went different, right? So we think about a lot of times Florida is a lot warmer in the summer, in the winter comparatively to most places. And a lot of times you get beers that kind of have that like minty chocolate flavor, all darker beers. So we wanted to go with a gold ale. So we do lactose, vanilla, loose leaf peppermint tea, and cacao nibs to mimic that peppermint bark. So that's where it's like the dark chocolate on the bottom, white chocolate on top, yeah. Crushed candy canes. And that's kind of the goal for this beer. This is.
And that nose is spot on. I've had a lot of peppermint beers over the year, and I'll be honest, I'm not a huge peppermint person. I do love a good peppermint bark. Why? Because that subtleness that you get out of like a candy cane peppermint bark versus, I'll tell you, I've had some beers out there. I thought I was like straight up brushing my teeth with toothpaste.
Peppermint is a very fine line.
Yeah, and it's soft on the palate. I mean, the creaminess, the chocolate really balances out. Peppermint's a whole lot more on the nose than the palate.
As you drink the beer, the peppermint kind of builds up as you're drinking it. So that's one thing I've learned over the years of doing this beer is that peppermint, there's a very fine line between great aroma, great flavor, and then just like that, you're into over the top toothpaste territory and it's no longer any good. And so one of the things that we always do at Crooked Thumb, I'm a big proponent of using natural real ingredients to get my flavors. So instead of using like a distilled essence, I actually use peppermint leaves, like a actual loose leaf peppermint tea, to get that same thing, like cacao nibs and the vanilla. So I think too, that kind of helps give you where we get some of those essences, you get a really hard flavor. With the tea, it's subtle, it's a little more rounder.
Between the mouthfeel, the aroma, just the overall drinkability factor on it, I mean, it's not a one and done dessert pastry style beer. I could actually see somebody enjoying multiple of these, hanging out over that campfire, roasting up those s'mores.
Yeah, we do. We get people come in, like, it's everyone in the town gets excited for it. They're like, you know, obviously my kids go to school in town, and everyone's always asking me, when's Frosty Nibs coming? When's Frosty Nibs coming? I'm like, oh, soon. So everyone gets really excited for it. We do sell it in cans as well, so that way it's not just a draft offering, so you can pick some up. It's a brewery release only, so you can only get it at the brewery. And so that way you can like bring it to your holiday parties or anything mm-hmm. like that and have a little lighter festive beer. But again, onto your like note about drinkability, that's one of the things that I always try to do is remember drinkability. I know that's a phrase a lot of brewers don't like because Bud Light tried to kind of take that over. But drinkability is a real thing. Balance is a real thing. So I always try to make sure the beer is balanced and it's drinkable. I always think like, okay, hey, I want somebody to come in, order this beer, and they're like, you know what, I'm gonna have another one, and they come back up, you know what, I'll have a third one before I get a fourth beer. So they're like three of the same thing. Like that's kind of my threshold for like if someone could drink three of the same beer without ordering something else, I've done a really, really good job. Like that means the beer is really drinkable, it's really well balanced, and it's got a flavor profile that people are excited about.
Yeah, no, I totally see that. So out of the beach, we don't do a whole lot in the sweet pastry area at all. We just find that our consumers just are not there. We've gone through, we've tried some stuff. We'll get a few people coming in, but what we have done lately is we brought back the nitro tap. So we've been doing some fun nitro treatments and really trying to just hit that palate a little bit with what people want, and then being able to do it on nitrogen, evading the carbonic acid effects that you get from doing, you know, certain treatments that, again, just the CO2 doesn't always play as friendly with the flavor profiles that you
for
want.
Sure.
So the nitrogen has really just been a little bit of a game changer for us on bringing those beers out. And it's sometimes it's hit and miss. I've done some really cool nitro beers that I was like, man, that's going to like go super fast. And I hung out for like 3 or 4 weeks. I'm like, well, okay. So then I make another, change one up a little bit. We did a pumpkin, vanilla, cinnamon swirly kind of thing on a brown ale, mm-hmm. and the half barrel was gone in a week. I was like, "Where? There are like, oh hey, we're out of it." I'm like, "No, you're not. There's no way. I'm like, so it's just funny because, again, the beer before that was like an Imperial Chocolate Sweet Stout with, I can't remember, but like chocolate and vanilla on it, like for an Imperial Sweet Stout, was just so smooth and creamy. I'm like, oh man, this one's gonna fly. But that pumpkin, cinnamon, vanilla, brown ale swirl, like, just a week went by and a half barrel like of nitro was gone. And I'm like, yeah, we, you know, so, but I mean, because right now, I mean, again, it's cooling off, but we're still seeing mostly our lagers, hazies. We have a margarita style goes on right now. That's moving really well. But, you know, again, it's just always fun and interesting to talk about the different drinking characteristics that we see. Because here we are both in Pinellas County. Yeah. I'm in almost the southern, western point of Pinellas County. You're pretty much in the northeastern part of Pinellas County. Yeah. And it's just, like, again, we're not, like, really that far away from each other. But our consumers are just, really does seem, like, vast different.
Yeah, well, like, fortunately for us, like, we are kind of central to a lot of the area, so we have a very diverse drinking crowd. I mean, even with Frosty Nibs coming out, it's probably at the top of our sales in the tasting room right now, just because it's released. Everyone looks forward to this beer every year. But pretty much any time of the year, like you said, I can count Grandpa Jack's Pills, our flagship Pilsner, is always in the top five sellers. Harbor Lager, our amber lager that we do year round, the flagship beer, also top five. Harbor Light, which is our American light lager that we do with corn, and we bring it down. That's 100 calories for a 12-ounce pour, but we pour it 16 ounces, so it doesn't really matter at that point. But anyways, that beer is also in the top five. So we're talking about three of our top five beers are all light lagers, 5.5% or less, like lighter beers, 5.5% or less. So those are kind of always stay there. And like you said, depending on the year, like we'll see some of the, like the darker beers, stouts, stuff like that, they'll creep up into like the top, you know, seventh or eighth spot, sixth, seventh, eighth spot, where even those lagers just kind of stay there. IPA, like we do two year-round IPAs. We have a West Coast and a Hazy, and then we rotate through Hazy different IPAs throughout the year. And so,
see, look, I'm pouring myself more of this. And again, this is not my go-to style, but I'm like, there's something about that. There's just enough peppermint.
Yeah.
To make that creamy chocolate. I literally feel like I don't know if anybody else has ever done like a peppermint bark style beer. Probably have tried it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd ever even actually try anybody else's after this one.
Yeah. It's. I mean, you know, part of it is using a lot of lactose to get that kind of creamy sweetness, and then a really high amount of vanilla that helps it. You know, vanilla is the salt equivalent to the pastry realm, right? Like salt kind of helps round, it pops flavors. Rounds things out. Vanilla does the same thing on the sweet side. So without having enough vanilla in there, like over the years, like when I first started making it, I used less vanilla. I was like, oh, lactose will be fine. Like, no, it needs more. So over the years, I kind of got this dialed in about 2-3 years ago. It was probably when I got it really, really dialed in. And so, yeah, I was increasing the vanilla quite a bit and actually reducing the amount of peppermint I was using. So when I first started making this beer, I used way more peppermint. But now I use probably a third of what I started using originally, and it's a much better beer for it.
Nice. So yeah, I mean, on our side, we have had a repeat brew that we've been doing. It's always been a Santa's beer that we do. We literally called it in the back like Santa's beard, and now it's been evolving. It's always been a Belgian quad.
Mm-hmm.
So really nice dark, adding in the Belgian candy syrup on it to really help kick up the ABV, pushing it over 10%. You know, again, really meant for those cold winter Florida nights that we get 3 days out of the year.
Yeah.
But this year, what we're doing, and especially since we have our spirits program going, I have an empty one of our bourbon whiskey barrels. So I'm going to throw a portion of our Belgian quad into that. And so I'm kind of going on this naughty nice theme this year. So been good for Christmas. Come get the Belgian quad, a little bit of cinnamon, nutmeg, clove in it to kind of, again, Belgian Christmassy up, almost that St. Bernardus, you know, Abbey. But then release in July on the bourbon barrel age to kind of have that Bad Santa, like, you know, theme on it. So looking forward to it. But again, you know, we're kicking it up to 10%. You know, but after drinking this, I'm like, man, I need to find, you know, get creative and find some, you know, holiday flavors to do in that low 4.5-5% range that makes sense. But again, I just go back to when I think about breweries out there that do these type of treatments, flavor additions using whatever ingredients. Again, I'm just not a huge dessert pastry kind of person, but this is so soft that I'm like, okay, somebody can do it without making it feel like it's a one and done 4 ounce pour.
Yeah. I mean, I'm same way. Like, I'm not a big sweets or dessert guy in and of itself, generally. So like that's why this beer took quite a bit longer for me to really dial it in, because I don't really drink a lot of it, but. And again, I'm not really eating sweets, so I have to always remind myself, like, okay, what I would want out of it is not really what the people that want this beer like. So I have to, like, separate my, like, biases, my thoughts, like what flavor profiles that I really like. Like, okay, well, how do I make this taste exactly like what I'm looking for? And so that kind of goes to, like, my recipe process in general anyways. I always start at the end point of what I want a beer to taste like. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, reverse engineer it.
Yeah, and then I'll move backwards. Okay, so peppermint. How's the best way for me to give it peppermint? That's going to be by using it cold side. I'm going to use whole leaves. Like, if I add that hot side, I'm going to extract way too much flavor, way too much bitterness. It's not going to be
pleasant. Who came up with the name? I mean, I just love it. I mean, Frosty Nibs. It's golden for a golden ale.
Honestly.
Did you guys just, I mean, because you had this before ChatGPT was even a thing.
Yeah, we kind of.
So, like, literally, you guys must have just sat around the campfire throwing out all the funny, silly names for something with a snowman.
Yeah, it was really just, I don't know, what's Christmassy? Like, oh, yeah. Frosty. Frosty's Christmassy.
And you got cacao nibs in it, so.
So that's kind of how we came to it. It was a group thing. We're kind of like, okay, like, going back and forth. We're like, oh, peppermint bark gold ale, that's boring. Like, we're not going to call it that. So, like, what are we going to do? Like, what are we going to do to make this kind of cool? And then.
Beer naming is literally one of my, like, favorite and least favorite things all at the same time to do. Like, it's like, I love and hate relationship. So yeah, it's always fun to see what people come up with, and sometimes just going like, how did you come up with that? And sometimes I'll be honest, I have thrown out on purpose some terrible ideas, and people are like, that's the best idea ever. I'm like, I meant it as a joke. They're like, no, we have to run with that. I'm like, okay, sure, let's try it. I'm waiting for a cease and desist from somebody, but hey, let's switch things up a little bit. I'm kind of a two-part conversation I want to have here. So we've been talking, or we've all been seeing the closures in the beer industry. We've been seeing the reports that the BA has been put out. We've been seeing the stuff that has gone into this last legislation federal bill talking about THC and now putting limits on that. Thinking about that, like, I also want to go back to, like, what's in your tanks too right now? And how much of what you see going in the beverage world, because that's what it is. It is a beverage world, because, again, we've been seeing, according to the BA and other resources, beer flatlining or taking a decline. But I'm seeing brands, and I'm going to align, like Mastery's, we're constantly growing. We have more volume coming out all the time. Our demand is growing. And so it's sometimes feel a little out of touch with it, because the only thing I can say is, well, we see brands closing up, so that means as brands close up, those of us who are around, again, we just celebrated our 9-year anniversary, you guys had your 10. You know, we're not the oldest breweries in Pinellas County. But, I mean, again, you come to, you know, looking at the oldest in Pinellas County, which would be Dunedin. They've been there since 95, and there's nobody else that even comes close to being around as long as that. But I'm starting to feel like, not the middle schoolers, but the high schoolers in beer industry. So, I mean, how much influence are you seeing out of the consumers on decision-making on what to continue putting in the tank? How often are you guys roundtabling that? What are you preparing for? What shifts are you making? And ultimately, what is your now decade of being immersed in this industry telling you where to focus, react, and overall impression of just what's going on? Again, like, you know, we have new kids. We got the Kava Kratom THC guys in there. We, you know, a handful of year, you know, a couple years back, we started seeing the RTD guys come into there. Before that, it was the cider guys coming in there. And the beer game, we've really just kind of, the beer game in general has been around since Prohibition. It's evolved and changed, but what people are come back to tried and true, where it's like beer flavored beer. But we've seen the waves of the pastry sours, the pastry stouts, the pumpkin beer kind of gets super excited, and now it's like, oh well, it's not, that doesn't even have the excitement that people once had for pumpkin beers. So whole lot of information, and it's just I'm trying to be like, where all are you feeling about beer, what to brew next, maybe where to evolve a little bit, and what's your opinion on, again, these closures, these alternate beverages, and how that affects the beverage world and how we continue to move forward in the craft beer world?
Well, it's definitely a challenge right now. Obviously, I mean, it is pretty true. We are seeing, at least ourselves, like in the market and distribution, our numbers are down significantly this year compared to last year even.
But that's across the board.
Yeah.
I actually don't care who you are. Everybody, all the distributors, I don't care if you're in the Miller Coors House or the Bud House, all of them are rethinking. I mean, I don't know if you saw the conference information from the last big national distributors, but they are all talking about retooling and refocus and how do they, you know, continue to move forward. So
yeah, it's stuff we're seeing that. So we're like, obviously, like I said, we're seeing it. Everyone's seeing it. So we're also seeing that, you know, it's harder to get beer into places where previously we could get beer in, and it was pretty easy. And we're seeing, I think part of it is, you know, American culture is moving more towards health consciousness, health choices, and beer has never been considered like healthy at all, although...
You know, and it's funny you say that, because literally last month I told you we had Chris Johnson from Green Bench Brewing Co. over here, and we literally had that exact conversation. And health,
yeah,
lifestyle, like, but there's been such a big misconception, because again, you see a sleek can from any vodka base, whatever, seltzer, RTD out there, and 9 times out of 10 it's usually a pretty fit person, male, female, whatever, and a luxurious type atmosphere for branding, basically saying that, like, drink this, you're going to be fit and super healthy. Meanwhile, most of those brands are using still more, because it's so mass produced, they're still using so much chemically altered flavorings and sugars to create them that the body doesn't even break it down. But then, like you say here, like, you know, like even like with Frosty Nibs, as much as real raw organic ingredients that you're using to create it, it might have more calories, but calories doesn't equal fat and bad. It metabolizes way easier in the body.
Well, that too, and then even craft beer in and of itself, you know, there are scientific studies that show that craft beer actually has more polyphenols per capita than red wine does.
Vitamin B, antioxidants,
trace minerals, amino acids, has way more than wine does. But wine, years ago, they were like, you know what, we're going to, like, sit here and we're going to lean into this, wine is healthy for you. You know, look at the Mediterraneans, look at how much wine they drink, look at how healthy they are. Well, it's not just that, they have a whole completely different lifestyle, the walking, the food, everything that they do.
No sulfides, all these other preservatives and stuff that goes into them that we just are forced to, you know, many of them are forced to do here in the States.
And so beer never kind of, never caught on to that, never went along with it, and so we've kind of been kind of stuck into this commodity type beverage, and so we're losing that traction because people are like, oh, well, there's healthier choices that I can make, and so that's kind of what we're seeing. And to that point, like, well, so we're still, that was part of the reason why we made our American Light Lager was to have a lower calorie, lower ABV product that can also entice your typical American Light Lager drinkers. Like, that's what they drink. I have that product for you. Or if you're somebody more health conscious, I have that product for you too. But to that point, you've already jumped into the spirits game. We've been having some serious conversations about that ourselves, and to maybe not to more to do like a local, well-made, not, you know, chemically processed made type like RTD, and possibly do something like that for the area. So we've been talking about that quite a bit and seeing, like, trying to work out feasibility if that's something that we could actually make.
But going back, so you said distro's down, and yeah. I won't argue that. I mean, but also our Tampa Bay area, again, literally almost 11 months ago, we were all underwater pretty heavily. A lot of people's homes. I know you guys saw some flooding in Safety Harbor, didn't you?
Yeah. Especially on the waterfront down Bayshore, a lot of those houses got flooded.
But we still have a ton of residents displaced, businesses that didn't come back. Again, you look at the barrier islands, how many hotels, restaurants, and so on. I mean, I can just go down the list of other brands that I've talked to talk about all their core accounts that just never came back.
Yeah, we're seeing that. We had quite a bit of traction down like Anna Maria, Longbow Key.
Yeah.
And we haven't sold a lick of beer down there this year.
But so, I mean, distro is down, but I'm going to tell you, like, people talk about, again, the tasting room and so on. We've had some fantastic months. And don't get me wrong, I mean, we our trends kind of follow true, seeing the seasonality, but we, looking out there at the closing rate and seeing the consumers' trends of buying at the tasting room, I think that's a little bit more where it's at. I think we're seeing these larger macro brands. I mean, again, Rogue just closed up the other day. How long have they been around?
Forever.
I never thought that's a brand I'd ever see, yeah, you know, close up. But I just look at all these brands that are so far reached that I feel like the tried and true right now is being that local hometown spot that people come visit at, come into the tasting room, being hyper local. It used to be local, but like local and having like Tampa, Orlando beer in St. Petersburg isn't local anymore. It's like you got to be in St. Pete, in Pinellas County to really be local.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's with, you know, way more breweries become like opening up and being out there. So it has shrunk down. To that point too, although I do say we have been down in distribution this year, our tasting room is up over last year. Like every month we've been had better sales than last year. So I mean, it's not
so the
all...
change. So really, the drinking habits along are changing. They're not just, which is good. We'd rather see more numbers in tasting room than out in distro, because obviously profitability is better. Get to give the consumer a localized experience.
Yeah.
Because again, there is nowhere better to drink your craft beer than at the brewery that brews it. They're just hands down, right? I mean,
it's the best. It's the freshest. It's the best, like best well kept, right? So like when we make our beers, like Coors has the best. Cold, everything's cold. Beer is cold. Whoever makes beer, it's cold from fermentation. Once fermentation is finished, the beer stays cold. The beer needs to stay cold for the rest of its lifetime. As soon as
but
you
just
warm
the way
it up,
we talk about, the way we clean our glasses, the customer experience, the energy, the vibrance. And so I'm not going to go too much in this because we're getting kind of short on time here. But I just want to go back to that, guys. It is the holiday season. You got campfires going on in Safety Harbor. Our fire pits are lit out on St. Pete Beach. From North County to South County, there's a lot of great brands in between. Thanksgiving's coming up. Christmas is coming up. You know, we talk about Black Friday and all those major box store guys. Again, shop local, drink local, eat local, go to your favorite local spots. Put your money back into your community. This is the place that you love to visit, hang out. I hear your words out there all the time talking about how much you want to keep that local vibe, that local community, seeing local thrive. this holidays, put your money where your mouth is, focus on shopping local, support local. You know, again, Black Friday's a thing. I get it. We all go out there and do it. I'm sure Crooked Thumb probably has a couple Black Friday specials going on. I know Mastery's has some Black Friday specials going on. But Small Business Saturday is there. Focus on small businesses. Buy some beer to bring home for the holidays. Come, go out to Crooked Thumb, grab some Frosty Nibs. Come out to Mastery's. We got a brand new Lost Lure Light Lager going in cans actually on Friday.
Oh, nice.
4%.
Awesome.
Barely hit 8% Play-Doh and dropped it down to like 0.5 with a little amylase on it. Light, crispy, lawnmower kind of style beer. Perfect to have with the turkey while watching some football. So, Kenji, I really want to thank you for coming out here.
No, I appreciate you having me out.
We're going to do this again. Guys, happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving. Go buy some local craft beer. Thank you to St. Pete, Radio St. Pete for having us out here. Thank you to Nanette. Thank you for our cameraman and awesome dude behind here doing all the magic, making us sound look good. I don't know. That's a really hard job. That's the hardest job right there, is making us look and sound good.
Yeah.
Guys, happy holidays. Kenji, again, thanks for coming out. Cheers. This is What's Brewing Tampa Bay.